ください。
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
You're listening to Lady Radio. It's going to be a pretty chill episode today. It's not like an official kind of thing. I just like to acknowledge that we are on unceded Musqueam territory, and there may be some trigger warnings happening. So that's just like a heads up.
Yeah. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing female sexuality. Education, sexuality, possibly, I don't know, just possibly if women's bodies offend you, you might be offended. If anything surrounding sexuality, I don't think we're going to go too much into sexual assault, but if that is something you have an issue with, just, it's going to be discussed, so we hope that you are okay.
Yeah, we want everyone to be safe and happy.
Yeah.
We're just going to, like, continue our conversation from sexuality from last week. We also want to acknowledge that our thoughts are with Nardwar, who had a stroke recently. He's a pretty prominent figure on CITR and a big part of his community, so we just hope he is feeling better and gets well. And
yeah, just sending our love and healing vibes towards that is what we want to do.
Yeah, so just to, like, recap the sexuality combo. What did you guys kind of like get from that? How do you guys feel about that conversation?
I remember all the beer afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
the best thing I got from that was the buzz.
Besides the beers, I thought it was such a lovely conversation. I had so much fun just like being in the booth and talking about everything.
Yeah, but it was really interesting just to sort of get to know how everyone saw that and get to know everyone in that way, because that's not something that you assume. I don't know, it said a little bit of something about sort of how you perceive everyone before you actually talk to them about that.
Yeah,
and then
so true.
Just like how sexuality can just like is not something we always like think about when we think of something, and maybe and not always something that we would associate with people and things like that. But yeah, that's what I. What about you guys?
Yeah, I thought it was really great. I think it's just important to have conversations about female sexuality. I've had so many conversations with my friends where the response I get is like, I've never thought about that before, or like, oh my god, I've had that experience too. You know, and like it's funny being like, why are we not talking about this? Why are we not having these conversations? Why are things such a surprise so often that we like are surprised when other people have experienced the same thing that we've experienced, or when someone comes up with a word to describe like the feeling that you're feeling? So I think it's like really great that we were able to do that and keep doing it.
I agree, and I felt like, well, we were kind of talking about this in the bar afterwards, that like it's so kind of like this big sister thing that I wish I had when I was in high school, like to sit around and listen to young women talking about their experiences of sexuality, which are all like really different and really like honest and like are very much their truths. And I think that like in high school, like I had a very like different conversation with my friends about it, that was very much informed by Cosmo and 17 and not necessarily the best resources. So it's great to have stuff like this as an alternative.
Also, like, it's fun. Like, I had just, like, such a good time just, like, being in the booth. Like, it's, like, it's just, like, a nice thing to talk about, which is, like, something I think people forget. And, like, it's, like, there's, like, less pressure on it. Like, it's kind of like, oh, like, I'm just saying what I want to be saying.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. Mm-hmm. So something we were talking about a little earlier would be, like, sexual education and, like, how you guys really experience that? Like, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. So I'm from Nanaimo, British Columbia. It's a small town on the island. You've probably like passed through it going to the important places on the island, like Tofino and Victoria. Like, it's actually just like the way station to the cute places on the island that people are like, what is this like town? Like, this is so gross. Anyway, that's where I'm from. And the school that I went to was like, I think something like the second lowest funded high school in British Columbia. And so you can imagine that, like, there wasn't a lot of, like, emphasis or resources being put into sex education. So all I remember is having two classes, like, literally only two classes for all of the 5 years that I was in high school. And both of those classes, I think this is similar for a lot of people in BC, were just, like, focusing, like, strictly on pregnancy prevention. And I just remember, like, more than anything, the emphasis being placed on the women, and one nurse like explicitly being like, listen girls, like the guys like aren't gonna bring the condoms and they're not gonna care about that, so it's on you. And they're saying this to a class like of women and like young men, so you're like not only just like placing all the responsibility on the women, but you're also kind of like giving the guys a green card and just like very much like gendering your just, expectations like, and your responsibilities.
That just gives them an excuse to exactly. not look after it, like, either. I'm honestly so offended when a dude doesn't have a condom. I'm just like, you fucked up. You fucked up. You're an idiot.
Have a separate like, wallet sorry. For your children at all times. So yeah, that sucked. And I just remember getting all of my information from scarleteen.com, which is an amazing website.
Really?
If you like
Scarlet Teen?
Scarlet Teen. Like, so scarlet as in the color, and then teen, like T-E-E-N.
Oh, cool. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Great. It's just run by this woman who, I think she started it because she said that she was having a really hard time understanding like what virginity meant, and she was the sexual health instructor, and she kept just getting emails from people being like, what is virginity? Like, I don't understand. Like, I've masturbated. Have I lost my virginity? I like use a tampon. Like, am I not a virgin anymore? And people just not understanding what it was. And so she started doing research, trying to figure out like, what is the definition of virginity? And she couldn't find it anywhere, like in all of her research. And she like got to a point where she was like, okay, like this is a construct and nobody knows anything. Like there is no like real information about this. It's so problematic. And so then she started this website as an alternative. And so it is in a lot of ways grounded in a feminist framework.
I was gonna say, can we talk about that virginity question? I just watched this fantastic, well, like pretty well done video from College Humor about places.
Oh my god, I was literally just about to talk about
about hymens, right?
Yeah. And like, I feel like I'm like pretty well educated on it. But it was so good. But I was just like, I didn't know any of this.
What are they talking? I have no idea. I remember,
go ahead.
You know what the worst part of sexuality class was last year? I took a sexuality class. It was like about the psychological thing, but she went into like sort of defects and like physical defects. We were talking about like physical things at this point because like there was an anatomy component to it, and I just remembered seeing all the like various ways that you could be born with an abnormal hymen, and it was just like, you can have one that's totally like goes across and is totally opaque. You can have one with a bunch of weird little gloopy holes in it. You could get yo, it was fucked.
Wait,
it was
gloopy holes?
No one talks about sorry, I mean like I'm talking gloopy in terms of the arrangements. Like
thank
multiple
you for being specific.
Small
I appreciate that.
Looks kinda like a looks really like a macro membrane.
Whoa.
Yeah, scary, gross. Go on.
No, beautiful.
With your...
The human body is beautiful.
The human body is beautiful and interesting. And also really gross, but like everybody's bodies are gross.
Yo,
and everybody's
beautiful.
Bodies are beautiful.
It's beautiful,
you know? Like,
until it's hurting you.
Like noses are gross.
Oh,
and they're beautiful.
I was just about to say noses are disgusting.
What I was going to say about hymens, I actually knew everything they said in that video because I'm so smart. I didn't mean like that. Sorry. I just mean like I'd known that because I'd learned it, but it's like I've had, like, my friend sent me the video being like, I learned so many things. And I was like, isn't this a little bit bonkers that at 22, 23, we're, like, just learning about hymens for real? And that when we had, like, sex education and we learned about our, like, body parts, that wasn't, like, part of it. But anyway, and have you seen this video? Do you know about hymens? Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I know.
Do you know about hymens?
Basically, can you briefly explain this video? Yeah, because I have no idea what you guys are.
Yeah, I was just about to.
Oh, okay.
And 3, 2, 1, here I am. Okay, I'm just kidding. So basically, like, they talk about virginity and how there's this idea that you have a hymen, which stretches across the vaginal opening, and when you have sex for the first time, it breaks, and that's where, like, the blood comes from. And it's actually They'll even do some like operations or checks, or like they like if there was like a rape accusation, they would like check if the hymen was broken, things like that, which actually is totally false. You can break your hymen doing a variety of things. Also, not every woman like has a hymen that is situated in a way that can be broken. Like sometimes you're just like born with a hymen that's like already a certain way. I don't know like very well the anatomy, so I don't want to say like super physical
but
things.
Everyone should watch the video like to find out about it.
Yeah, everybody should watch the video. And it's, I also like most people like don't have a hymen that's totally over.
Yeah,
when you get your period, like it went like where, and they said in the video, they're like, think about it, like where would my blood go like if there was this like fully covering like layer of skin? And it's really just like the reason that it's different for everybody is because it is like leftover tissue from when the like vaginal canal is opening during your development in the uterus, and so it's different for everybody. Learn that on scarlatine.com, by the way. Throwback, check out that website if you need information.
The most like shocking part to me was like they showed, I forget what TV show it was, but it was like Christopher Maloney was like, and like she wasn't raped because her hymen like was fully intact.
That's like
she was a virgin.
Like that's
and
how
I was
people
like
checked it in like Elizabethan times.
I was
like,
this
are you ready
like
for marriage? Like
it's just like
I
but
think
like
it still happens today. Though.
It does. Yeah. It does. Like, but like the fact that was like perpetuated in like a big TV show and like these beautiful stars are like, this is fact. It's just like, I don't know. Like it's like,
it's disgusting, and it really just like further continues our like sociocultural ideas of what virginity is, and that we've like made it into this thing that is physical when it's really just totally imagined, and that this idea that like women are impure and they are broken when
like
they have
sex
for the first time
on your body. Like that's so weird to think that like after you have sex for the first time, then that there's something like fundamentally physically altered about you that like can't be changed. Like that's
deflowered.
So, yeah, exactly. I hate that so
I hate
much.
That cherry popping. It's
yeah.
disgusting.
Okay, I actually had a friend who said in high school.
Do people like still like value that as
yes.
a state to be in though?
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, like it's culturally dependent, but like the information. Like I was like.
I mean, like in your experience.
Like for me.
Or yeah, just like have you guys been in cultural medias where virginity was kind of a thing that you. That like it felt important to conserve.
I don't think I have, really. I mean, like I'm sure it exists. Well, I guess kind of like just like weird family get-togethers where like we're all kind of like spread out, and like the older people, and then also like, people in like smaller cities are kind of like, so do you have a boyfriend? Like, what's the deal with that? And I'm just kind of like, oh, like I don't want to share this with you. It doesn't really matter. But I think definitely like being on a university campus, and but also depending on where the people are from who like you're kind of like talking to, like I feel like I've kind of built it up in my mind. There's like a small town and like a big city kind of like divide between cultural understandings, which like I'm sure is true to some extent.
Are you from a small town or a big city?
I'm from Toronto. It's like not. It's like it's like big. Yeah, exactly. Like I don't know
if it's big though. Would you say it's a big city?
Yeah, it's like a fair to middling.
My roommate's from.
It
London.
Definitely qualifies as. A
I
city.
Never left downtown. So
like you got a girl from Nanaimo.
Yeah,
I'm from Kelowna.
That's okay.
No, I just feel like there's like such like. I don't know. There's such a divide between understandings, which, like, I don't know if other people, like, think exist. I just, like, have it in my head.
I think I kind of get what you're saying. As in, like...
I need to play ads soon.
As in, I feel like the upbringing that I've had and, like, the life that I've been, like, fortunate enough to be able to lead and also the education I've been able to get is that I don't feel that pressure or as much... But, like, as much as someone else might who's had a different lived experience... as me about sex and about being pure and, you know, XYZ. But that doesn't mean that, like, I didn't in other, like, implicit ways and that I felt guilty when I had sex for the first time. And when I had my first one-night stand, I felt guilty and, like, weirdly dirty and, like, having to sort through those feelings and be like, where does that come from? Oh, yeah, this is where it comes from. The
patriarchy. I feel like that should be, like, the show's, like, tagline.
On that note, we're just going to take a little break to play some ads, and seeing as we hate the patriarchy, let's play an angry song. I don't know. Okay, cool.
Shindig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR's DJ spinning after the bands.
Shindig Night Nine is happening this Tuesday, December 15th, featuring the Psychic Alliance, Making Strangers, and Bright Red Kite. Cover is $6 at the door, and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
A man of average height got out of a black sedan holding a baseball bat. He approached a dark-haired woman, hit her in the head, then hit her again as she fell to the ground. He continued to beat her ribs, chest, legs, and face until she lost consciousness. He then hit her again, got into his car, and drove away. This is a scene from a video game played by millions. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a game? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
And we're back. Hello. Thanks for that. So that was not as angry as I was going for, but still cool. That was Annabelle Lee, otherwise known as Mexican Slang. She's Mexican Slang. She's got two dudes in her with her, but it started as her solo project, and it's like, it's cool. It's pretty, it gets bluesy in parts, it gets mad in parts, it gets sort of droney in parts. I like it a lot. Anyways, back to the conversation.
Hi.
Hey, fellow listeners out there on the airwaves. Let's jump back into our convo about sex ed. although I guess we're talking about like virginity and hymens. Any more things y'all want to add about that?
No, I mean, we can
I'm good to move on.
Past cool. That. I was just going to talk about my experience with sex ed, which was really different than yours, Emma. As in, not that it was like the like best ever, but anyway. We had it since like grade five. We'd have like a week each year, and I actually it was the same woman who was like a tall redheaded woman. I still remember her, and it was was a man disguise.
Time traveling Emma.
To come tell me about sex. Thanks so much. And she'd come for a week, teach of our classes, and talk to us about sex. And there'd be a different thing each year that we'd get to learn about. But there was a few things about it that were, like, kind of fucked up. Like, I remember in grade six, they split up the boys and the girls, and we learned about our own quote-unquote body parts, which is, like, not only essentialist and, like, you know, like, all that other, enforcing the binary, but it's also, like, okay, so, like, I don't have to know about penises and dudes don't have to know about periods and, like, vaginas? Like, what the fuck is that?
No, it's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's a little gift.
It's like a Christmas wrap.
That's SNL skit.
What?
I don't know if I can, like, say it on air, but you know the one that they always play at Christmas? It's a song featuring Justin Timberlake, which you should
all buy. The Dick in a Box?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Take a look inside. Yeah, that's what everybody's first experience with penises is like. Except not. It's a lot less glamorous than
is it really?
Than that. I wish it was closer to what you're doing right now.
Well,
it's like tiny voice for the penis to sing to you.
I mean, yeah.
Well, this is just like another demonstration. Like, that's the thing. Like, is it really so important where we get our education as to where we get our exposure to sex? And like you mentioned that, like, you learned everything online, like, or through, I don't know, like, I probably just had people tell me bits and bobs and then, like, go and Google a bunch of weird stuff. Like, ultimately, like, I have very little memory of how it was actually treated in school.
Yeah, well, I think that the place where everybody learns about sex is with their friends and in those small groups. And that can be a really good thing because it's often easier to talk to your friends about that kind of stuff than it is to anybody else. I mean, I think, like, I remember watching porn with my friends when we were, like, 13, 14 and, like, giggling at it. And I think that, like, reading different books and stuff is actually, like, a pretty common educational process for a lot of young people.
But do you feel like that would prepared you well, or do you feel like it would have been more useful to have had some sort of, like,
I don't think that prepared me at all, like, the conversations I had with my friends, because we were getting all of our information second and third hand from our older sisters or from older girls that we knew at school.
Or Scarlatine?
Yeah. Well, I was getting it from Scarlatine because I got so frustrated, like, not having, like, concrete answers about stuff that I, like, went and sought that information out on my own. But that was just, like, because I was interested in, like, knowing about it.
Okay.
So it's, like, I think exposure, it informs the way that you interact with information in that sense. And it's, like, I always go back to you to thinking about, like, television shows and stuff and, like, getting a lot of conflicting messages in the media. And then, like, that also driving me to go and then, like, seek out more kind of, like, I don't know, reasonable information, I guess.
Cool.
That's so interesting because, like, I don't really have any memories of, like, I never watched porn with any of my friends. I never, like, watched, like, sexy movies with any of my friends. Like, the one memory that I have is, do you guys know the book Water for Elephants?
Yeah.
Like, this.
Is that about a circus?
Yeah, yeah. And there's,
yeah, like, I didn't read
it. Reese Witherspoon plays the character in the movie?
Yeah, she does. Robert Pattinson is the male.
Ooh, movie, then?
The elephant plays itself. Elephant. Dolores as herself.
Dolores.
That's what the elephant is. Yeah, right?
Great elephant name. And back to
I never saw the movie, although it sounded amazing.
It wasn't that good. I heard the book was way better. I never read the book, but I heard the book's better. Anyway.
I got the book, like, as a birthday present from, like, my friend's mom. It was weird. And then, like, I brought it to school and I was, like, just starting it. But there's, like, this scene where there's, like, a stripper and, like, there's a whole, like, striptease kind of, like, ooh, very sexy kind of thing. And, like, I remember reading it and then, like, my friends found the book in my locker or something and then, like, read it and we're like, oh, like, haha, this is so funny. And then, like, I just, like, read it and I was like, oh yeah, like, that's cool. And then, like, didn't really get it, but, like, laughed and, like, that was it. Like, that's the one memory that I have of, like, anything like that happening.
Also, I just wanted to ask this question. Does anyone remember their, like, misconceptions that they had about sex when they were young? Like, things they just thought?
Well,
this is probably a gold mine. Just
I think, yeah. Right? So I was going to, like, say this earlier, but, like,
oh, man.
One girl in my school told another girl who I was friends with, so again, secondhand information, that, like, the reason that your hymen is called a cherry is because the first time you have sex, it, like, literally makes a popping sound. Yeah.
Oh.
That's, like, a real piece of information that I believed as a 13-year-old version of myself.
I believe that.
That's pretty jokes. At least that's not destructive in any way. At least that's not like a piece of information that could have possibly like led you astray.
Where's the popping sound?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's
like
something
there's
wrong.
Sort of, yeah, broken. Maybe. That's just, I don't know. That's
that
at least
one
not like
bad thing to come of that.
Hopefully by the time you're actually having sex, you've debunked that myth.
Yeah.
I remember that I thought you had to do like every, actually, sorry, this is a side tangent. I asked my mom what a blowjob was.
Aww.
When I was like 13, because I read it on the internet, and my brother
Damn
was there,
the
and he made so much fun of me, and it was one of the most embarrassing things in my life. Anyway, I remember thinking that you had to do all the jobs, like every time you had sex, you had to do it all. That was sex, doing everything,
the jobs,
all the jobs,
like a sequence, like take off the
yeah, yeah, like a list.
I don't know
why
sex like that though.
There
like,
are
tragically,
and like if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But I like remember being like, oh my, I have to do all of that.
Yeah.
It was really scary.
I would be afraid too.
Tiring. I mean, like how?
Yeah.
Like how far down the job list can you? Like how long of a job list can we compile? It'll probably, like this show will run out and we'll still just be listing them. You can just I can pull up like Urban Dictionary or something. We can just go through it. No, I won't do that.
I never like had any misconceptions about sex because I didn't have any conceptions about sex. Like the sex ed stuff was just like. Just kind of like this kind of like happens, but like they like I guess I wasn't really paying attention, but I was like, oh yeah, because my mom also did like a pretty good job of like explaining all the stuff to me, but I was just kind of like, oh yeah, like so what happens, like great. And I didn't like the act of sex never really like came into my head. Like I remember someone like mentioned condoms and I was like, what's that? And then I like went home and Googled it. Like every time something I didn't really know happened, I'd just be like, what is it? And then be like, oh okay, like that's it. Like But I was never like, oh, like, that's going to happen or,
I remember
like, anything bad.
Just the concept of condoms being really weird. I remember how they were first described to me. Like, my friend, like, found one in the school field. And we must have been 7. Probably older than that. I don't remember super well. And, like, she just described it as a piece of plastic that the guy puts around his penis. And then said, like, very mischievously that she'd asked her mom what they were for. And then her mom was like, well, like, sex is fun. And she just
oh great mom, like that's
and
awesome.
I was just like,
that's
how do these yeah. two things even correlate? How does rubber and fun even, how does that, what? Yeah, anyways,
that's so funny.
I suppose that's and a type of misconception.
Any other misconceptions?
No.
I guess like we, like you were saying, both of you have said that like you just went and Googled things and it's like, wow, what to live in an age where we just can
yeah.
Google any
yeah,
questions that
thank
we have.
God.
What did our parents do? They probably just like believed a lot of weird stuff.
Probably believed a lot of weird stuff, yeah. I can't
all
even fathom.
Which like kind
of weird stuff they must have believed.
It like kind of like explains like why so many myths are like perpetuated throughout, because like people like didn't know. Like if you like didn't have someone who was like knowledgeable about it and like actually explaining it and like telling you facts, like you're kind of like, oh, like I guess that happens, like sure, but like how would you know?
And that's why I think like sex ed actually is like really important. Like while most kids now are probably getting a lot of their information from, like you said, their friends, the internet, porn, there is something to be said about having a person like come into your life or your classroom or what have you and like tell you this information. And especially if you have your friends told you something that's like untrue and then the sex ed teacher says something else, it's kind of like it's going to debunk those myths for you and it's going to make it more of a comfortable topic as opposed to like you and your friends whispering behind the bleachers, you
yeah,
know,
for
like
sure.
You're having teachers just come in being like, yeah, sex, here we are. And it's like, that's great. Like, let's demystify sex. And I think, like, while, you know, I don't even remember a lot of the things that my sex ed teacher told me, I remember some of it, and some of it was, like, really jarring and really impactful. Like, a lot of pictures of terrible STIs. That's what I got in my sex ed.
What do you guys think of porn, like, as an exposure
Yo.
To sexual experiences?
Can I just say that I watched The Smell of Us yesterday. That's Larry Clark's latest / last movie. It takes place in France, and oh my god, it was so good. And let me just say, because Larry Clark's movies are usually just him sort of You know, it's just gross, weird sex acts and totally random plot lines, just people being terrible humans and just generally questioning how humanity got to that point. But The Smell of Us was, it's all like just like skaters fucking around doing drugs, stuff like that. And so in this movie, there's sort of like there's this omnipresent kid with a camera phone, and like every time someone like there's this character they follow around who's like he's like a, I don't know, 18-year-old kid, and like he basically like whores himself out to old men who just do like the weirdest, just like there was just this 5-minute long scene of toe sucking, and there was just a lot of sort of these really like voyeuristic pans over, but the bodies, it was incredible, like no actors, just like kids, just like he uses like he often just takes people like frequently off the streets, and so just like the depiction of the act itself is just super realistic. It's totally uncensored, but like he's stylizing it now, so it's just it's so weirdly sensual. But I don't know, I'm just recommending it. If you like cool. that sort of stuff. Yeah.
That sounds pretty lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I think like I don't have a problem with porn as a concept. I just have a problem when particular
when
kinds
bad.
Of sexuality and particular kinds of bodies and types of bodies are the only ones who are being represented. And I think that like very largely affects scripts for how we like see people as attractive and unattractive.
I also think that like, you know, like 90% of the porn that you find online is violent.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, yeah, like you said, porn as a concept is I am totally down with, and there's a lot of really great like feminist porn out there that celebrates all different types of bodies and all different types of sexualities and is consensual. And is like, you know, fun and sexy and beautiful, but like it's really scary seeing all, you know, the porn that is out there that isn't any of that, and how much that impacts people's like psyches about what sex is like, especially when you're a teen and you've never had sex before,
and like their role in it. Like my biggest issue with porn, I think it's a great like thing that like, yeah, you can watch this and it's great, but like the kind of like not like over sexualized, but like the amount of like unrealistic like just like acts and like roles you should play and like body types and just like all this stuff, that just like, I don't know, I feel like it's dangerous like for men because they feel like this is how it's supposed to go, and like so they expect it from someone else and the women, and then women who are like, oh, like, why am I not doing this? Like, why do I not find this sexy? Like, what's wrong with me? Because I don't fit this thing that everyone else seems to be super into.
Mm-hmm. To like share a personal anecdote, one of the things that I've noticed universally, any time that I have had oral sex with a man, they have like very much like it's so much a visual experience for them, and they've like watched me give them head, and that has always made me really, really uncomfortable, because I felt like that they were like looking at porn when they looked at me, and that it was for them very much a visual experience, and I just felt like, oh, they're looking at me right now because this is reminding them of porn that they've watched in the past.
Well, it's because they're, well, I mean, is that necessarily the only motivation, though, that it's because they're,
That's just the way that I felt. I don't know. Like, I can't like know if that like is what they were thinking, because like I'm not inside their heads. But for me, it just made me feel really uncomfortable. And like reflexively, like when I have had like guys go down on me, I don't look at them because it almost like makes me uncomfortable to like watch that happening. And I don't know if that is like because oral sex has been scripted and depicted differently for men and women in heterosexual relationships.
I agree with that entirely.
On that note, I think we're just gonna fade out into another couple ads. One moment.
Indie rock bands Taco Cat and Sally Ford are co-headlining on Saturday, December 12th at the Cobalt. Doors open at 7 with the show starting at 8:30.
This event is 19 plus. You can get your tickets today online at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Peanut butter and jam!
What the f*** are you doing, Phil?
Right now it's time to...
Peanut butter.
Damn.
First you dig peanuts and you dig them. You dig them. Then you crush them. You crush them. Then you spread them. You spread them. Peanut butter.
Damn.
Peanut butter.
Shells that cover me, and I release them to the Judases. They patrol the seas in search of little me, for I'm the most wanted, the middle place target, the possessor of the number one power most coveted, or for the most part attempted. I'll never even let them get close enough to see the weapon. They drip on purpose just to see if you would catch them. I let them hit the ground and teach that bitch a lesson. What you're demonstrating with all your picture painting, and by now you should probably consider hibernating. You might as well be sleeping while your boyfriend's dinner dating. I'm saying that we've been otherworldly though, and I ain't playing. Damn.
So you can get back up and you can try again, even dust your shoulders off, but in the end you'll never win. You can only pretend that you're better than me, or you're harder than we. But the ICC, the trapping is so elite.
The trapping is so elite.
And yeah, we do this with ease.
Yeah, we do this with ease.
We'll give you more if you please.
We'll give you more if you please.
Cause it ain't like
this. Cause it ain't nothing on me.
Okay, back on. That was Bizarre. They're a duo from Toronto. They're a couple of female, chicks. Like, that isn't redundant. Yeah, apparently a lot of their music is just sort of this cool collaborative effort celebrating their friendship and, like, driven by the power of their friendship. And it was pretty groovy, and I like it a lot. So that's Bizarre, like B-I-Z-Z-A-R-H from Toronto. That was Panagia. Anyways, back to you guys.
Cool. I guess just, like, kind of re-pick up from the sex ed kind of talk. With my experience, like, it's always been kind of, like, paired with something else. Like, I learned about it in grade, I think we started learning about it in grade 7 in Buffalo, New York. And then I moved to Toronto.
New York.
With Buffalo.
And in both of my experiences, like, it was kind of, like, paired with something else. Like, HealthCast was, like, also home ec. And then in Toronto, like, it was also gym. And then in, like, high school, it was also, like, paired with drugs. So, like, we had, like, the health section, like, in gym class. But, like, it wasn't, like, this is about sex. Like, it'd be, like, half a day was sex and then half a day was drugs. And then, like, repeat for, like, a week. Like, it was a really weird, like, weird associations that were, like, kind of made just, like, with how the whole thing was set up. That was weird.
Interesting, too, how, like, school systems treat, like, drug education and, like, how that works and, like, the misconception.
How they sort of lump drug and sex education into one
sex,
sort
drugs,
of, like,
and rock and roll!
Someone's going to come into you tomorrow
in my band
and talk,
class, we learned about, sex
talk
and
about
drugs.
Something important.
But not rock and roll.
Yeah, but not rock and roll.
And then we play jazz music. Concert band.
But, yeah, exactly. That is, like, a really interesting pairing.
It feels like they want you to think about it as something to avoid.
Yeah.
And, like, something that's, like, going to be demonized. Like, it's not, I don't know, that's, like, a shitty way of doing that.
Well, it's
just
the fact that it's, like, demarcated like that.
Yeah, totally.
Just, like, so irregular that it's, like, outside the normal curriculum. It's just, like,
yeah,
life's taboo.
Normalize it, you know? Just normalize this conversation.
Yeah, totally. And broaden it, too. Like, make it about, like, well, like, obviously consent, but also, like, I just wish that people had talked about, like, intimacy, but I think that it's really, really hard to integrate those things into a classroom with teenagers because, like, I remember we had this one, like, it was, like, a planning course.
Well, how do you tell someone how to be intimate,
well,
though?
Yeah, but I think not, like, telling somebody how to be intimate, but in a way that, like, that you can define that and that there are more ways of being intimate than sex or than, like, what you are,
like,
necessarily seeing.
I, like, kind of had that and that, like, during, like, in high school, like, our sex kind of days or whatever, they had, like, one of the classes was, like, what is, like, a good, I can't remember if they did this for the girls, but for the boys, I definitely, like, what is a good boyfriend? And then, like, he does this and, like, this. And, like, I remember it so clearly. The teacher had written, it was like a flow chart kind of thing. It said, like, good boyfriend, and then, like, funny and, like, nice. And, like, written in the corner, it was like, class did not say compassionate, kind. And I was like, oh, wow, like, that's dope. But we, like, didn't have, I don't think we had anything like that in, like, the female version of the class. Like, there was no how to be a good wife or, like, how to be a good girlfriend or anything. Like, it was just...
Okay, that would have been...
Yeah, like it's so weird that, like, that's, like... That's a thing that, like, they're, like, boys, like, don't be a dick and, like, do this. Like, be nice and whatever. But, like, girls, it's not, like... There's no, like, fix how you... Because, like, that, like,
I
verges...
I mean, to sort of...
That, like, verges on, like, kind of, like, sex. Like oh, wow.
That,
like...
verges on sex.
Yeah, no. It's, like, kind of, like...
Sexist.
I mean,
I find just... That telling anyone how to be anything, like, outside the context of their individual relationship to be, like, presumptuous at the very least. But holy shit, once you get onto, like, how to be a good girlfriend, how to fucking best serve, like, it's just the association between, like, service and partner. And it's like, nah, maybe you should just talk to your partner
well,
and see what they
like. Broadening intimacy and not it always being, like, pick, like, the person you're in a relationship with and, like, anything outside of that is... not, like, good, like, a good situation to lose your virginity in, which is not even something that they, like, would talk about in school, but was very much emphasized in the kind of shows that I was watching. So it would just be cool to, like, have in high school some sort of, like, way of not even, like, having it as a discussion, but, like, there are, like, so many great resources, like podcasts, websites that talk about sex and sexuality in really, like, diversified ways, and it would be cool to just, like, give that to students, like, as resources for their own musing.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting if sex was talked about in, like, an empowering way. I feel like so much of what's talked about in sex that is, like, the nuts and bolts of sex, and it's just left, and it's like there's so much socialized, like, cultural stigmas around sex, and maybe that's why they don't touch that, because it's so entrenched, but like you're saying, like, where do we get these ideas of like how we personally feel about sex, how we feel about our partners, how we like engage in a relationship, what that looks like, how to treat each other well and with care and respect? Like, why are we not having these conversations?
I'm so grateful for like the Lacey Green talks. Have you guys ever been to any of those?
Lacey Green, no, who's that?
She's this YouTube female who just like talks about like I think she went to UC Berkeley and like started up like a sex ed revolution there and kind of was like, I don't like how we learn about this. Like she gave a lot of talks. Now she started a YouTube channel and that talked about like safe sex and like good stuff around that. And she comes to UBC, I think, every year, just like gives a talk on like sexuality and like good sexuality, almost, just kind of like, they're really lovely and I love them. And I go to them, I went last year and I went this year, and each time they were really different. Like last year, she talked a lot about sexual assault and rape, which was pretty jarring. So I was like kind of scared to go to the one this year, but this year it was just like a lot of like education and like, this is what like a penis looks like and this is what a vagina looks like, and like talking about very technical kind of stuff, which was just like, they're just so lovely. I would recommend everyone go to Lacey Green. They're free. Just
wait,
like,
where did they take place?
They were in the Chan Center this year, and I think they were in the Forestry Building last year.
Oh, okay, cool. If that pops up, Lady Radio will definitely shout it out. I just thought of another thing. There's just this other really good sort of sex podcast. It's called Sex Nerd Sandra. Just Google it, Sex Nerd Sandra, and she just talks about just like general like giggling around like this, only she has a slightly deeper understanding of like probably like slightly more sketched out episode themes. Pretty much, she's serious, is what we're saying. It's a good podcast though. Sex Nerd Sandra, just a shout out.
Yeah, that's kind of stuff that like I wish that I knew about in high school, and are the kind of things that so much like determined my like the latter half of my sex education after I got past the nuts and bolts stuff, like when I was in first year and you're kind of like figuring out what you want out of like sexual relationships, romantic relationships, all of that kind of stuff. And like, those are great resources, and I wish I had them when I was younger and trying to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, just having access to resources in general is such an important thing. I actually don't know about like resource stuff here in Vancouver, but we were hoping to have this episode on the air, an interview with a woman who works for Opt. We might have that at some point, but from what I understand it, that's a great place to sort of check out if you have like questions regarding sexuality and resources and things like that. And once again, we'll elaborate that on a different time.
Yeah, Opt's really great. They also have a hotline. I believe it's 1-800-SEX-SENSE, and it's anonymous, and you can call them with any questions. There's a few locations in Vancouver. Also, we have not totally completely sex-related, but there's the Women's Collective, which is a health organization in the downtown east side that just services women, and you can make an appointment with them, and they're a fantastic resource, as well as I think it's called The Raven. It's a youth clinic / organization, I believe, in East Vancouver, which is also really great.
Wow. Okay. So to like end the episode, do you guys want to talk about your favorite 2015 moments?
We don't actually have that much time.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, we don't actually have
that much time. Favorite new 2015 word that you just heard for the first time this year. Go.
this is technically our last. It's not an official show. It's an unofficial show. It's just us being like, hey, we have airtime that we can use. Let's giggle about things. But yeah, just to sum up the year, what are some things that you
liked?
In
a word? I would say dope.
Dope.
Dope is my word.
Good to hear it. Glad to hear it.
Lit.
Oh, get lit.
That's a good one.
My year, 2015. Lit.
Was it really lit? Did you think was it lit? Or was that lit just like,
lit?
Or was the word lit just everywhere? I noticed the word lit.
I don't know. I just want to say
pop
it.
Pop up everywhere. That's lit. All right.
I just want to say it on air.
Feel that.
Bless up.
Feel more satisfied when you said lit on air?
I am a frat boy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I could think of a word for the whole year. The first thing that came to mind was Yas Queen, because I feel like I said that way too much. Yeah,
just like Yas anything queen. Associated with Broad City. That's that's my everything.
Do a whole episode on whether or not Abby is a real human.
Ugh, I could talk about Broad City forever. I could write a gazillion papers on that show.
You probably should. That'd you should start lit. That right now. You should start the scholarly compendium of Broad City episodes.
As we speak, I am starting.
What's your first thesis?
This is a hard question. I'm so nervous. Not secret, but like underlying feminism in the show. Obviously, it's explicitly feminism, but I want to talk about like the implicit feminist moments.
The implicit feminist moments.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The secret feminism. The sneaky feminism.
I'd like to hear about that, actually.
The first thing I thought of was the dog wedding. And just like, I don't know why, but that just seemed like such like a tearing down of like marriage and like just like ideas. I don't know. But that's just like immediately.
So let's maybe that's great. Maybe there's something weird there. Human practice, like just by doing it with dogs.
Yes.
2016.
That's my phrase of
yeah.
okay. Anyways, just to wrap up, so happy that you guys have been listening in. Just to wrap up, we're actually going to play a song by Yokes, who do the Feb Concept episode. We're playing that to promo their show tonight, the Choms Jam Space Showcase, which is going on tonight. So everyone should go check that out and support the lovely ladies of CITR. We will see you next week.